item, please.
Can we go to the time certain?
Yeah, time certain is next. And colleagues, just so you know, I'm going to have to do a hard exit at 11:30. Time certain 9:31, please.
Assess benefited properties for street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Southwest Golf Court, Spring Garden Street, Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I am pleased to bring this item before Council today in collaboration with Commissioner Hugh Daly, who is the new Bureau of Transportation Commissioner in charge. This local improvement district at Southwest Golf Court and Spring Garden Street will allow us to continue to improve our sidewalk infrastructure, which helps to increase equity and livability in the area. And also, completion of this project does help, as we were talking yesterday about the Southwest Corridor Light Rail Project, begin to rectify deficiencies in advance of the anticipated high-capacity transit on Southwest Barber Boulevard. And then finally, I just would like to recognize Suzanne Stahl for her leadership on this project. Sadly, she passed away on November 14th of last year before this project was completed. But her leadership and voice as an advocate for this project will be remembered. And with that, I'll turn it over to Andrew Abbey.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. I have a brief presentation for you. So this slide here has an overview map on the left of where this project is located in Southwest Portland, and then on the right is a detailed map of the Local Improvement District. So I want to just share with you three pictures. We combined construction of the park improvements with construction of the street improvements for economies of scale. This was the first of several pictures taken on the day of the grand opening. The city acquired land for the park in 1999, and my colleague Travis Rubal, who's sitting here in the audience, delivered that project this year. So that's been 19 years in the making. The combining of the construction of the park and the street improvements was beneficial to the property owners. The property owners along Dolph Court realized a 15.8% savings on their LID. And this is the final picture from the grand opening. This park now serves 1,359 Southwest Portland residents who previously did not have proximate access to a park. So I really wanted to thank former Commissioner Peabot, Commissioner Novick, and former Park Commissioner Fritz for their leadership and their willingness to engage on this LID. One of the things that we were looking at 3 years ago when we were considering whether to do this project, as Commissioner Saltzman pointed out, was the extent of the infrastructure deficiency in Southwest Portland. There's sort of this notion that East Portland has most of the infrastructure backlog when in fact it's in Southwest Portland, so we felt a real sense of urgency to do something. And just to put a picture with statistics, this is what Dolph Court used to look like before we did the project. So very narrow street, steep, no safe place to walk. And then really what we were trying to do is to, in conjunction with the park improvements, build a more hospitable place for people to walk where it would be safer and more welcoming. In addition to the pedestrian improvements, we are also trying to deal with the stormwater issues on the street. If you look at that picture to the right, you can see that people were just piping water out to the street and dump it on to their next neighbor below them. We really wanted to deal with those issues on the steep street with grades up to 9.5%. And then this is an after picture showing what the improvements look like. These two pictures were taken at the bottom of the hill. The owner of this property did submit an objection to final assessment, and his representative will be here to speak on that, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. So that's the project in a nutshell. We've got a few people here to testify, and happy to answer any follow-up questions you may have.
Very good. Colleagues, any questions before we get to public testimony? Very good. Public testimony, please, Carla.
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Very good.
Amy Gearhart, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and Lori Sinton.
I
Carla. Good morning.
Go ahead. No, Amy, go. All right, can may I start?
Go for it.
Great.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Amy Gearhart. I'm attorney at Sussman Schenck, and I represent S&E Properties, LLC, which owns the property at 8619 to 8623 Southwest 30th Street that's within this LID. We're here to object to the allocation and specifically the methodology of the allocation and the number of exempt properties included. And that's the whole body of the objection at this point. So under Oregon law, the city is required to impose a fair and equitable allocation of LID improvements. And it's long established premise in Oregon law that one person's property cannot be improved at the expense of another. And then one owner cannot be forced to pay for improvements that benefit exempt properties, which we believe is happening in this case with my client. So with that being the standard, we think that the proper allocation in this sense is total square footage in the LID as opposed to EDUs. So right now, the allocation is based on the equivalent dwelling units in the area. And so my client has a multifamily property with 22 units, which is one of the higher density properties in the LID. And so what that's done is shifted a lot of the excess cost to my client as opposed to other areas. So on the front of in that presentation, there's a colored map there. And the blue areas show all the exempt properties that are benefiting from access to the transit center, for access to the park. And none of those properties are being charged anything for these assessments. Instead, the allocation is based on EDUs, which is transferred to my client, along with some other clients. What that's done is my client's being forced to pay for almost 19% of the improvement costs, whereas total square footage in the LID, excluding exempt properties, is only 12.5%. So we're paying a much bigger percentage based on this method of allocation. As an example, the park is about 65% of the total square footage, and it's paying for 57%. And as we just heard, there's 1,300 users to that park that are benefiting by the excess pedestrian access, and are not. No one's being charged, really, but the multifamily development and some city costs. And so we think that that's not fair and equitable as required under Oregon law, and that the appropriate methodology is total square footage. Additionally, the exempt properties are benefiting despite them not necessarily having sidewalks right in front of their house. They have sidewalks across the street now. And as we saw from those pictures, that gives them much better access to transit, to parks. And just because they have sidewalks across the street doesn't mean they're going to access it any less. In fact, what my client has seen is people now loitering, standing, smoking, littering on his property and on the sidewalk near his property now that that's the access point. And so we just ask that the methodology and allocation be reassessed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Lori Sitton, and thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I come today as a user and representative of the disability community and the advisory committee that advises Portland Parks and Rec that meets monthly with different bureau representatives and architects and landscape architects and PBOT and reviewing plans and of the 144 parks. This one in particular, I think, has the amenities that include access for little toddlers and children up to elderly. The pathways are paved. There's some gravel. There's some sawdust, and there are flowers and clover, and the elevation changes from Dolf Court down to Southwest to Spring Garden Park, and it is 4.6 acres of spectacular vegetation. The birds, the butterflies, and there's so much for the children to do. They can access the transfer areas, the swings. There's the rubberized surfaces the children can just go from one element to another and just crawl and climb and slide and enjoy the music features. So they can bang on the metal aspects. And when we were there for the 2 hours, I think we must have seen and visited with a dozen different people, dogs, the little children, just enjoying going from the higher level down to the bottom and back up. And the pathways intersect, and the people are just, it is spectacular. I would encourage anyone to go and visit. I think it's one of the gems of the Portland Park system. It doesn't have any programmed access, but it is just a wonderful place to go. People were laying in the sun. People were having a picnic at the picnic areas, just enjoying the swings and the spinning features, little children playing with cars down in the water and it was almost like a little moat that they were running the little cars through. And the little kids would go up and press the button to make the water feature go again. Just, I have to applaud in all the years of participating with Portland Parks and Rec in the advisory council since 95 and even before. Wonderful job with the limited resources.
Commissioner Fuchs.
Listen, thank you very much for your service on the committee, and thank you for coming today.
Absolutely.
You just made probably my week or year, never mind just my day. Thank you very much.
It was just spectacular.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record again, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And it's been probably over a year since I was here to talk about these wonderful micro-socialisms at Rabbi. It's been about a year since an LID was something that I talked about. And it's interesting to have counsel for the multifamily unit presenting the real reason for concern here is not, of course, multifamily landlords, but the impact they have on cost burden renters. So I don't think the total amounts here are going to justify a lot more time to wiggle and jiggle the financing. But I do think that when I talk about local improvement districts as micro-socialism, that the council has raised an interesting point about exemption. When we're talking about private property owners who own single-family or multifamily dwellings, we would hope that everybody has the financial stability and the means to contribute. So blanket exemptions, while a place that has tenants, and I'm totally unfamiliar with this multifamily unit, so I don't know whether where it fits in the spectrum of rent and the cost burdenness of those tenants. We know that there are tenants, more and more tenants in Portland are not at all cost burden. They're buying extremely expensive luxury apartments that don't even take up 20% of their income, while other people are facing paying up to 50% of their income for rent. But I do think that it's important when we have a local improvement district to not be overly generous with exemptions for private single-family homeowners who really do have the means to contribute to something that benefits their whole neighborhood. So I hope that there'll be a fairly simple solution. I don't think it's going to be anything where the bottom line dollars are going to justify any kind of litigation. But it's a chance for us to get to know these people in this neighborhood, know what their income situations are, wealth disparities, and stuff like that. So I hope you'll take council's point to heart, as well as the beautiful story about the actual wonderfulness of the park. For those of you who didn't notice, Commissioner Schaltzman specifically gave credit to the excellent community advocacy of a former candidate for this commission, no, maybe it was county, Sue Stahl. Stahl for all, facebook.com, sue.stahl.327. Our community is a little bit sadder, more difficult place without Sue in here, encouraging us to all do our best and make Portland even better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Was it just those three, Carla?
That's all who signed up.
Very good. Colleagues, anything?
Andrew, I'd be back to talk about the issue raised by legal counsel, please.
Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. Commissioner Frith, the issues that were raised were summarized in Exhibit F, and there's some pretty detailed findings to all those. I hadn't planned on recapping all of those in detail. The ordinance as written contains the directive to overrule the objection, but I want to make just a couple of very brief points, if I may. The way this process worked is that when Parks first looked at developing this park, PBOT put forth a set of requirements to the Parks Bureau to comply with the condition of getting a building permit for the park. So what we did is we estimated the LID for the cost of Parks meeting their required frontage improvements, and then we also estimated the marginal cost of the improvements along Dolph Court down to Southwest 30th Avenue. So what we have here is a zoned assessment methodology where Parks paid the same amount that they would have paid anyway, and then the other property owners then pay the marginal cost of doing the rest of the project. The other thing I just wanted to share is that the combination of the cost savings and a lower interest rate than what applied at LID formation is that on a per equivalent dwelling unit basis, if financed over 20 years, it was estimated to be $76 per month at LID formation. It's now $62 a month with the savings. And then finally, what I would say is that the properties that were exempted in the LID did not receive any frontage improvements. And I think we start looking at a little bit of a slippery slope if we start pulling in properties that didn't receive frontage improvements, particularly if that is not done during the formation stage and we're now coming in at final assessment and wanting to make a change. These are types of issues that really should be raised at the formation stage. But that said, I'm very comfortable with the assessment methodology. And I think the fact that we had another property owner with about a 9% less assessment who did not object to the final assessment is an indication that the assessment methodology is fair.
Thank you.
Any further questions? This is the first reading of a non-emergency. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you so much. Sure. I just have to comment on this project. I was one of the community members advocating to Commissioner Francisconi in 1999 to purchase this property from the school district. I used to live on Dolph Court. I'm really glad I don't anymore because I probably couldn't have authorized building this project because it would have been a clear conflict of interest, although my children are now all gone. So that anyway, that's my history with this project. If you just, colleagues, indulge me, look at page 4. This park is called Spring Garden Park, and this is what it looks like in spring with the clarkia and the clover. If you look at it now, it's not quite so spectacular in terms of the flowering because it's not spring flowers. It's going to be wonderful next spring, and I very much appreciate Ms. Sitton describing all of the interesting different things that you can do on a hillside slope. It's amazing, amazing engineering work. Travis Rybold from Portland Parks and Recreation is here. He was the project manager. I just have to also tell you that a couple of weeks ago we opened the splash pad at Fernhill, which, like this project, was done with system development charges or impact fees. Travis designed the splash pad art. It's in the shape of a fiddlehead fern, which for Fernhill Park is quite impressive. And not only that, but he and the contractor for that project were able to save, I think, in the region of $500,000 under budget, and so they're able to add other elements to that park. So, Travis, your work is absolutely spectacular. I know that this particular Spring Garden Park is one of the jewels of the crown, thanks to you and your team, and I just am really, really excited that over 1,000 people have this new park. Thanks to Suzanne Stahl and the advisory committee within Portland Parks and Recreation for their advice on the accessibility issues. This isn't a Harper's playground or a fully accessible playground, but every one of the playgrounds that we have done with either Parks Development Charge, Park System Development Charges or the Parks Bond have many, many aspects of accessible, inclusive play, and I'm happy about that. And finally, I do need to thank Laurie Howell, who was the chief neighborhood person who really pushed for this project, got people excited about it, and rallied the community. It wasn't always easy. I can remember a particular time of going out to this project where I was lucky to escape with my life, it seemed like, but we've come through it, and I think it speaks for itself now. Please go visit it if you can.
Excellent. Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.